Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
As I was saying earlier, it feels like quite the backwards move. And I know there are a lot of people like, well, what if he wins? I mean, I hope for the guys that are on the roster that he wins. I just know that I'm struggling with this. I don't know how anyone could see this as a move forward. I also don't like that it isn't what the general manager said he wanted. I don't like that. I don't like that if the White Sox were trying to get away from insular hiring, that this is the most insular hire that they could make. The guy who's friends with the owner. The guy who's been friends with the owner, the guy who's trying to redeem a firing that happened 36 years ago, to hire someone who doesn't even really believe the same things that the general manager espouses to believe. That's before we get into I think that La Russa is a reprehensible person. Before we get into that, it's the baseball thing that I'm struggling with.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. Here's what we have planned for you. JJ Stankovic is going to join me around 12:40. He and I are going to talk about the Bears. Joe Ostrowski is going to join me at 1 o'clock. We are going to talk about a little bit of everything, because I want to pick his brain on some betting stuff that's going to go on inside the NFL and with the Bears in particular. I want to see if there's any change in the odds for the White Sox now that they have Tony La Russa as their manager. We had a really great transition segment, and that kind of ate up the first segment of the show. I don't mind that. I think it's actually a good thing when those things happen organically. So I need to take a break, but I want you to stay there. Why? Because I want you to hear from the general manager of the White Sox, and we need to have a discussion about that. And we're going to do that next here on the
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
That's crazy! Dude, do you understand what the White Sox just did in front of all of sports? Like, sports is chilling for a whole day, and the White Sox was like, watch this.
didn't even wait for the Friday news dump either. They dropped it on Thursday.
They did it all wrong. They had a dude who couldn't manage for a year as a cheater. And Sox fans was like, please hire that mother. like, think about that. Think about that, dude. Embarrassed on a national and maybe a world stage in the Dominican or whatever, like AJ Hinch. They fans are like, please give us the mother that was disgraced a year ago.
No lies detected. That was Jason Goff and Tony Gill and Rob and Casey, like, just hanging out at the beginning of the Bulls Talk podcast. I listened to it this morning. It's still there. And Jay goes off. So please go listen to it because it's really, really tremendous. And then he's like, all right, let's talk about Bulls trades. This segment is being brought to you by Burlington Stores. Have you been to Burlington? They have incredible deals and amazing styles at up to 60% off other retailers' prices. No coupons are needed. It's your one-stop shop for fall. Go to burlington.com to find your store. Burlington, love the deals. All right. So here's how I have worked through some of this stuff over the last 24 hours. This was right at like 1 o'clock, right, when they dropped the email that had the picture of Tony La Russa, but the signature of A.J. Hinch in it, which I think is really interesting on a couple different levels because it makes me feel like that there might be an insurgent at the White Sox that thought that that would be funny, and they were right. It was hilarious that that got sent out. Anyway, I was like, I need to do some things that are going to make me feel better, Halle Berry. I went out to the burbs. I stopped by to go see my parents to try to explain what had happened to them. I was talking to my 75-year-old father, explaining that the White Sox had hired a manager that's older than he was, but he knew who it was because it was Tony La Russa. Before that, though, I stopped at there's a candy shop. I'll take you to the candy shop. Colonel Sweet Tooth out in Frankfurt. If you're out by that way, like, they have like popcorn stuff, but obviously I can't have popcorn. But I can have candy and cookies and stuff. And I went in there for like 10 minutes and hung out and found some cookies and cakes and stuff and felt better. This morning, I listened to the Locked on Sox podcast, which my executive producer, Herb Lawrence, hosts along with Chris Tannehill. And it's incredible. Like, those guys do a really wonderful job. And Tanny was out here being the voice of reason. He was trying hard to be the voice of reason. I think that he made a lot of good points. Herbie was not having a lot of it, as he is wont to do. I think that it's fair to believe that Tony La Russa, as far as the X's and O's of managing a baseball game, is qualified to manage the White Sox. I don't want you to think that I don't think that he knows baseball. I don't want you to think that that is my objection. I don't want you to think that my objection is even to his credentials. My objection is it's backwards move, number one. Number two, it's cronyism at the absolute. It's the good old boys network, like, at the worst. He wasn't the best candidate. In fact, if you talk to anyone around baseball, they'll tell you that for any job opening that was out there, Tony wasn't going to get a call. The only person that was going to call him was Jerry. That's another issue that I have with this, that you jumped over the two guys that you put in charge of making decisions about this, that you as an organization asked White Sox fans to buy into. It feels like a bait and switch along with being backwards. And then we can talk about whether or not the guy that you hire who hasn't managed in 10 seasons by the time that the season starts up, if the season starts up, can he connect with the guys that are in his clubhouse? Or has the game passed him by in that regard? And then on top of that, we can talk about his feelings on issues of social justice. That's pretty low on my list of things. Like I said yesterday, squaring the circle between having a tremendous amount of affection for a lot of people inside that organization and the players themselves versus this move is going to be difficult for me. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's going to be fixed by the time we get to spring training or by the time that the games start. This was a hard blow for me as a White Sox fan. And I've talked on Twitter, in the text lines, 312-644-6767, if you want to text in, with White Sox fans about this since it happened, the folks on Twitch. Someone said to me yesterday, I think it was like 8 o'clock, because I was watching the Metallica thing, and that made me feel, that was another thing that, yesterday, Metallica and the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra, they showed it on PBS last night, and I had never seen it, and it was dope. So that kind of calmed me down too, which is strange because it's Metallica. But in talking to people, someone said, well, I mean, you need to get over it. Like, it just happened 7 hours ago, so I wasn't getting over it. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it, and I'm uncomfortable with the process that it took to get him hired. I am well aware this is Jerry Reinsdorf's team and he can do what he wants, but he's going to get this criticism. He's going to get it. And I know that I'm not alone in it. While trying to figure this out and trying to have an open mind yesterday, listening to the hour-long press conference that they had, I thought it would be interesting to hear what the general manager had to say. And as I told you yesterday, I felt like at 2:30, we were going to have the general manager sit up there and lie to you, which hurts me to say because I like him as a person. But that's exactly what we got yesterday. The GM trying to smile through all of this and be like, yeah, he was our guy. He wasn't our guy. He was Jerry's guy, and we all know it. Take a listen to Rick Hahn.
This day, I think, needs to be about Tony La Russa and the organization welcoming back to where it all started, welcoming a Hall of Famer back to where it all started. So my comments are going to be brief. I'm going to try to hit on a couple of anticipated questions up front so that we can then turn the focus to Tony where it rightfully belongs today. You know, we've spent a lot of time over the last few years talking about where we are in this rebuild and phases and, you know, transitioning from phase one to phase two to phase three. And I think it's important for all of us to note that this hiring today is another indication that we've moved on to that final, that most exciting stage. And that is the one about competing for championships. Thanks to the hard work of our scouts, our player development people, the front office, our analytics group, clubhouse staff, everyone involved, we're on the precipice here of a potentially exciting run and exciting era in White Sox history. Thanks to the players and the clubhouse staff, we have a dynamic, fun, exciting team that's hungry after getting an initial taste of postseason baseball to move on to that next stage. And thanks to the fans' support and patience over the last few years, there's a great deal of excitement in the city right now and anticipation.
Pause it, Herbie. There was a great deal of excitement in the city right now. There was. What ends up happening a couple minutes after this takes away a lot of that excitement. Please continue.
Comes next. Considering all that, it was clear that this next hire as manager needed to be someone who was capable of taking us to that next level. You know, quite frankly, as we talked a couple of 3 weeks ago when we initiated this process, this obviously played out a little differently than I initially described I thought it would for all of you.
Pause it right there. Yeah, because what you described was you wanted to take the managerial hiring in a different direction where it wasn't so insular. By the way, now you're about to hear Rick lawyer his way through reverse engineering how it's not insular, even though it's the owner's buddy.
When we discovered, when Tony was receptive to Jerry's original overtures about potentially coming back and taking this position.
Pause it right there. Jerry's overtures. That's a key component. Please continue.
Change the focus. You know, I will say there were far more names considered, discussed, vetted, even interviewed than have been discussed publicly. I'm actually good with that because, as we said a few weeks back when we talked about this search, I'm not real keen on having names of those who don't get the job out there publicly. That's up to them if they want to disclose that. But it was a broader endeavor than what's been at least leaked out to the media. But once it became clear that Tony was very much open to this possibility, the process did change and the focus became making sure we could figure out a way to make it work with Tony.
Pause it right there. So in other words, the job was his once he said it was his. Once he said, I'm down, that eliminated the rest of your search. Got it. Continue.
As for the ultimate decision about how this takes place, or I should say the ultimate decision about going with Tony, you've heard me say over the last several years on major decisions that it's about consensus, that it's a conversation between the chairman, Kenny, and myself. And ultimately, we come to a conclusion together. You know, quite frankly, sometimes it moves along more quickly, like when we talk about making the commitment necessary to sign a guy like Luis Robert. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer, like it perhaps does when you're deciding the right time to pivot to a rebuild, as we did a few years back. But the one thing that's consistent is that in the end, when the decision is made, we all are fully committed to making this work, everything work in the best interest of the White Sox. And everyone's on the same page when that final decision is made. And as you know, someone who was in the room discussing that decision, I can tell you that this was made with the intent solely on putting us in the best position to win championships. It's obvious or easy to fall back on some old narratives that this was about friendship or potentially righting old wrongs or something like that. In the end, Tony was the choice because it's believed that Tony is the best man to take us help us win championships over the next several years.
Pause it right there, Herbie. Have you ever in your life heard an introductory press conference from an executive of an organization that sounded less excited about the hire? Because that's not how they usually go. Usually, you have someone that is selling you on what it is that person brings. And whenever you hear executives in sports talking about consensus, you best believe that they are trying to mitigate their connection to the decision that was made. It's a very good way for that person to be like, well, we all agreed on this. So, you know, I guess no one's at fault. I guess we're all at fault if any of us are at fault. Because it was a consensus and we were all in the room where it happened. We were all there. And this was the best thing. Even though Jerry reached out to him, to La Russa, and once La Russa said it's a go, you didn't have any other options available. Please continue.
Turn us into what we expect to be a very exciting phase for White Sox baseball. Part of my job as general manager is try to explain those thoughts to the fans and to the media. But I don't want to belabor that too much today. Instead, I'll pivot to another one of my responsibilities as GM, and that is to welcome home, welcome back to the organization, Hall of Famer Tony La Russa, next manager of the Chicago White Sox.
Yep.
Tony, welcome.
You sound completely enthused. You sound like you're ready to go. You can't tell me that if the hire is anybody else, pick a name of qualified candidates who could have been hired as the White Sox manager yesterday, that Rick Hahn doesn't sound different than he did in those 5 minutes that he was trying to explain to you, that he was trying to shine up this decision that the White Sox had made. I talked with people who were in the room yesterday. And the thing that they kept coming back to me with was, man, you should have seen Rick. You should have seen Rick when he walked to his car. He's clearly upset by it. Good. He should be. I would be. The best laid plans, right? These plans were right there. And everyone was on the same page except for the one person. These dudes trotted out Willie Harris to interview him. That's the wide search that they did. They found someone in their organization that wasn't in a position to say no to an interview like this. It was like, all right, good. We've checked that box. Now we can hire the guy that the owner wants. It is absolute BS. And as much as I like Rick, and as much as I am empathetic to the position that he was put in yesterday, the fact that you had to work so hard to get your vision of the future of the White Sox past the two guys that you had to get it past, and for then to you not to be able to make the decision, the most important decision from here on out for the White Sox, has got to suck. But you can't tell me that that didn't sound like a guy who wasn't with this. That didn't sound like a pep rally. That sounded like a funeral dirge. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Have a little fun, brother. Okay? Have an awesome game today, Ken.
J.J. Stankovic, covering the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago.
You are still taking your fitness very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go drink beer and have pizza after this, but I earned it.
Every single Friday.
I want to see it come out of you right here.
Yes, sir.
You take this thing over right now.
Yes, sir.
J.J. Stankovic with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
I know this guy always makes it fun for me. J.J. Stankovic does an incredible job of covering the Bears. Oh, wait a minute. We got to talk about the Bears now? We got to talk about their game against the Saints? Oh, J.J. works for NBC Sports Chicago. He's great. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to check out Melrose Park, or you can just go to alpamonteford.com. What's up, JJ?
Not much. I assume you were talking about the White Sox managerial hire, so let's talk about something that people aren't going to be happy about, too, the Bears-Saints game on Sunday.
Well, maybe. You know what? The more I dig into this, the more I think that there's an opportunity for the Bears in this game, but I don't know how they're going to take advantage of it. Like, when you look at the Saints' pass defense, for example, there are plays out there to be made in that. The problem is you've got injuries on the offensive line and protection issues before you even get to the injuries and accuracy issues for Nick Foles when he's trying to go downfield. How can all of that get repaired within the week between what we saw Monday night and Sunday afternoon's game?
Honestly, Lawrence, I have no idea. That's the problem. I'm looking at this team, and I don't know where the fix comes from. Also, you didn't mention that Allen Robinson is still in the concussion protocol and may not play on Sunday. So I wrote about this yesterday on SportsChicago.com that the Bears are going to have to pass to win this game. And it doesn't mean Nick Foles throwing for 300 yards or, you know, the Bears putting up 30 points. This is probably going to be a low-scoring defensive game, but they're going to need Foles to make a couple of throws. He's going to have to do it without his number one wide receiver. We'll see what his injury designation is later today. But the offensive line stuff, Lawrence, like when we talked with Matt Nagy after the Rams game, he mentioned, hey, Nick can't step into a lot of his throws. And obviously Aaron Donald being on the other side of the line had a lot to do with that. But you go back and watch it, it wasn't just Aaron Donald winning a lot of those matchups. Michael Brockers had a really good game. Go back even to Carolina, that interior of the offensive line was just really struggling and has struggled since James Daniels got hurt. You know, maybe you throw Alex Barrs in there and see if he's maybe better than Rashad Coward, but you're probably going to have to start Sam Mustipher at center. That's the problem, Lawrence. I struggle to see where the fix comes from when you're plugging holes with undrafted free agents on the offensive line and you're now likely without your top wide receiver.
I wouldn't be shocked, JJ, if this is a game where we see Nick Foles throw 45 times. And honestly, I don't think it's a terrible idea. But I do think that the way that you throw the ball could be a terrible idea. Like, I feel like this is a tempo, quick passing day for Nick Foles, because if he does set in the pocket and you try to set up these plays down the field, the Bears right now are not constructed to protect him unless they go some max protect stuff and you're playing, you know, two tight ends the whole time, but the leaky part of your line is still in the middle, and that's problematic.
So I wrote about this today on NBCSportsChicago.com, and it was looking at what the Bears' offensive identity is. And right now they don't really have one. You form your offensive identity on first down, right? That's when a run or a pass is not obvious. The Bears, since Nick Foles took over as starter, are the most pass-heavy team in the NFL on first down. But Nick Foles, when he throws the ball on first down, is about league average. He's averaging 7.3 yards per attempt. That is exactly league average. The problem is the Bears can't run the ball on first down. They're the worst team in the NFL at running the ball on first down. They're averaging 2.5 yards per carry on first down. That's awful. And the question I basically pose in this article is the Bears are becoming predictable and ineffective on offense, but the only way to become unpredictable is to do something that is so ineffective that you won't be able to develop an offensive identity. So to spin that toward the Saints game, I think you're right, Lawrence. I think there's a game where Foles is going to throw the ball a lot. Saints are really good against the run. They're top five in both yards per game and yards per carry. But the Saints are also probably going to know Nick Foles is going to throw a lot. So there's going to be a really difficult kind of cat and mouse balance where the Saints might be able to say, hey, we don't need to add anyone to the box to stop the run. We can drop a lot of players and know the pass is coming because, well, if it's not, well, we're just going to stop David Montgomery against this bad offensive line. And what I came to while writing this, Lawrence, is I don't think changing play callers makes a difference. I don't know that there is a play caller on staff who will make a marked difference with this offense if he were to take over play calling, whether that's John DeFilippo or Bill Lazor or Dave Ragone, because the O-line is bad, they can't run the ball. Their pass game, when they get into second and long and third and long, is bad, below average. I just I don't know where the answers are in this offense. And maybe the answer against the Saints is to throw it 45 times, but New Orleans is probably going to be ready for that.
This game might be the most important of the year, and I know that's weird to say about a team that's 5-2, but if you lose this game with Tennessee on the back end of this thing, with all of the things that you're going through as an organization right now, health-wise, man, this sets up for a great opportunity. Like, I heard what Matt Nagy said. I was lurking in the Zoom. He was out here talking about everyone wants to be negative, focus on the positive. All right, if you win this game, you're in great position because even when the Vikings are good, he finds a way to beat them, and you're probably going to beat them in this stretch. But if you lose this game and you look like you looked over the last few weeks, offensively and defensively, with the explosive runs that this defense gives up, I think it would lead a lot of people to negative town if they lose.
Yeah, I mean, and rightfully so. I think that the Bears' best shot in this game is to replicate what they did against the Bucks, where you got a less than mobile quarterback back there. You hit home with four, and you just pound away with your pass rush on Drew Brees. Yeah, you can give up a 100-yard rusher, but you're not going to actually give up that many points because the quarterback is going to have a tough time making decisions against a four-man rush and a defense that's now able to drop seven into coverage. I think that is the blueprint the Bears need to take. And look, Lawrence, when I was on your show before that Bears-Bucks game, I was saying a lot of the same stuff. Like, this is a bad matchup. I don't feel good about this, all that. And they went out and they won that game. So maybe they'll surprise us. I don't see a lot of paths with the way the Bears offensive line is going. And then you mentioned the explosive runs and the Bears run defense. That also certainly is a concern in this game. I struggle to see a lot of paths that the Bears win this, but they did it against the Bucks. The Saints have not won convincingly in any of their games this year, except week one when they did beat Tampa. So maybe this game will be close, and it might come down to Nick Foles making a throw at the end of the game, which we've seen him do, and that is a path for the Bears to win this game.
Yeah, we did the mental gymnastics, and we found a way. Go Bears indeed. JJ, have a wonderful time covering this game. I appreciate you. We will talk next week.
All right, looking forward to it, Lawrence. Thanks.
That is JJ Stankovic. He is the absolute best. He covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago and NBCSportsChicago.com. Read some of his stuff. As weird as it sounds, in the 1 o'clock hour, I'll help make that case for the Bears. I'm going to take us to positive land on the Bears, at least for a couple of minutes. But when we come back, Joe Ostrowski is going to join me. I wanted to ask him if the odds on the White Sox moved at all with Tony La Russa being the manager. We'll discuss that and the best bets in the NFL this week next on The Score.
What's up, Joe? What's up, Joe?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.